Good evening. Today I'm going to speak about the prayers, the tefillah, who wrote it, where did it start, every part of the prayer, what's the source of it, you know, and some of the secret of it. And plus, if we have extra time, I'm also going to speak about some good advice from Chazal, from our sages, general things about life. But before we start our topic today, I don't know if you're aware of what's going on in Israel, in general, on the news. It seems that in the last month or two, things are getting out of control. And it starts with this boat that came, and the whole world got together against Israel. Now Turkey became a very serious enemy of us. They're about to disconnect all their contacts with us, you know, completely from A to Z. And not that we care so much. There is also a lot of good in it, because the Israelis, every week they're going to Turkey over there to make scenes. Said, now one more place less to make scenes, you know? So it's not so bad. But that's really not the main problem. The main problem is that even though the Goyim always wanted to destroy us, in general, not all the Goyim, but in general, most of the nations are anti-Semites. They would love to see Israel being destroyed or disappeared. It's not a secret. They're not trying very hard to hide it. They really are not the main threat to us. Because the Torah always told us, Hashem warned us, that me'arsaych u'machrevaych memech yetzu. If you know that you see the Jews going down, it's their fault. It comes from inside of us. Our own people are destroying us. And we can see today that, I don't know if you're aware of the last 48 hours, that it's always been major prejudice in Israel, racism. You know, people are racist. Most people in the world don't like the other. They only like their own kind. Most people are also clever to hide it. They're clever. When somebody says a racist joke, they pretend that they don't like it, but inside they're dying to laugh. Because they say the same jokes at home, but they're afraid. They're afraid that somebody once will catch them saying such a joke or a comment against some race, that then all of a sudden it will be very difficult to deny it later on. You know, so the point is that in Israel, since Israel became a country, there was always I don't know how to say the right word, but there was always problems between the Sephardic Jews to the Ashkenazic Jews. Even though the Ashkenazi was working very, very cleverly to hide it, it keeps coming up every once in a while. Well, what happened right now, it's already basically critical, because there's a city in Israel, it's called Emmanuel. It's a small city, and there's one school for kids. One school. The school has some Ashkenazim, some Sephardim. The Ashkenazim made a wall between them and the Sephardim, that they want to be separated. They don't want to be mixed. They don't want to be mixed. One guy decided that he has to put an end to it, and he started a big war against it. Until it ended up in a secular court. That's where the problem really begins. Once the Reshaim, the wicked judges, got involved, you know, first of all, they're not religious. Second of all, they have to show that judges in a democracy like Israel, they will do everything they can against prejudice, against racism. So the judges gave them an ultimatum that they must return all their kids back into the class. They gave them a due date. And of course, they did not return them back into the class. We don't know all the details. There has to be more details involved with this story, but I'm just saying it in general, just for us to understand what's going on. So yesterday, the judge, the main judge, the three judges already ruled that if by tomorrow, which means today, they're not returning their kids into the school, all the 40 parents will go to jail for embarrassing the court. You know, the court, it's the Supreme Court of Israel. If they make a decision and you ignore them, you go to jail. In any other country, it will be the same case. So, of course, they didn't send their kids to school. And tomorrow, they're supposed to be arrested. But in the meantime, the religious people, like all the other people in the world, they are not clean from doing cheap manipulations. And tomorrow, they're pretending tens of thousands of Hasidim and religious people to go and have a fight with the police. So it's going to be tomorrow, who knows what the bloodshed is going to be tomorrow. We don't need the Goyim to attack us, to send us vote and to shoot at us. We don't need them. The Goyim cannot touch us. We are killing one each other. The Goyim have to sit and laugh. What stupid Jews are sitting in the land of Israel, killing one another, instead of being united together against all the threat that we have around us, they killing one another. You understand? So now it got to a point that it became already now, all of a sudden, it's not Sfaradim and Ashkenazim anymore. Now it's religion against seculars, because now the court got involved. So now it's the issue, we're not going to listen to this court. We don't recognize them as judges. They're wicked people. They eat pork, they're not Shomer Shabbos, they make all the sins in the world. They cannot even be a witness in a religious court. The judges in the Supreme Court in Israel, if they come to testify in a Beis Din, you cannot accept the testimony from them. That's the truth, that's the halakha. Even though he's the biggest judge in Israel right now, in a secular court, in a Beis Din, a 14 years old kid is better than him. That keeps Shabbat, he can be a reliable witness. But this judge could be 70 years old, with 50 years being a lawyer and a judge, you cannot accept from him any testimony because he's wicked. He's corrupted, he's wicked, he's not listening to the creator of the world, you cannot rely on him in anything. These people have no conscience, have no mercy, they don't have integrity. Why? If they don't care about their own soul, you think they care about the people that they judge? You cannot rely on them, that's what Hashem says. So now it's all of a sudden now, from being an argument in the community between the Sephardic Jews to the Ashkenazi Jews, all of a sudden now it became religion against seculars. 10,000 police, 10,000 cops and soldiers are waiting for tomorrow morning. I don't know what's going to be. Maybe in the end they'll be clever enough to avoid that Chilul Hashem. But already the damage is tremendous. Which means you can see things burning on the streets tomorrow. They're going to take them to jail. They already prepared babysitter for 2 weeks. Because the judge already said that anybody who did not send his kid back to the school will go to jail at least for 2 weeks. You understand? So that's what's going to happen now. So even the Prime Minister of Israel, which got caught in between, he has members in his own government that are religious, and then he has members that are not religious. So he said today on the news that he hopes that the both sides will realize that we have so much threat around us in these difficult days to start fighting one each other. We have to drop it and unite. Like I always said, I said it in previous lectures. If the Jews would know not to be racist one to each other, and that it's all the children of Hashem, all these enemies that are after us would not be able to even make a beep. The only reason that they become stronger and stronger against us is because the way we behave. When you don't love your own brother, why should Hashem protect you? It's very simple. If a father sees two of his sons fighting one each other and wants to kill one each other, he puts a bomb in his car, he shoots at him, he turns him in the police, he puts him in jail, he broke his bones, he did the same thing. The father is giving up on both of them. He doesn't want to look at them anymore. And that's what happened right now. I know it's very difficult to hear it, but that's the problem. Now you know what's going on. Because the Ashkenazim are prejudiced against the Sfaradim, obviously the Sfaradim has the same problem. It's become on both sides. If somebody hates you, you already start to hate him. Of course, this is general things. Not everybody is like this. I know hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of clean hearts, Ashkenazim, pure, righteous people that would love any Sfaradi just as their own people. No difference. Same thing Sfaradi. It's enough that you have 10-20% of the population that makes these problems. Now the problem is, that when you want to take your kids to school, in America you don't feel it that much. Not so much. But in Israel it becomes a very big problem. What is the problem? Everyone who comes with a Sephardic name, they just don't accept him to yeshiva. Doesn't matter, good kid, not good kid, no Torah. Right away, as soon as they hear it, we have no room, no applications. You understand what's going on here right now? So there is a story that looks like a joke. It looks like a joke, but it's a sad joke. What is it? There was one Moroccan guy, Baal Tshuva, became very religious. His kids were already born religious. They're religious already. They grew up in Bnei Brak. So some of the Moroccans, if you know, they have very light skin and green eyes, blue eyes. So he looks 100% Ashkenazi, a speos, black hat. You will never know he's Moroccan. But his last name is Lankri. So everybody knows Lankri is not Ashkenazi. Every yeshiva he wants to put his kids in, no room, no room, no room. So he made one of his friends call with an Ashkenazi name. A minute after he called, right away they say, yes, when do you want to come to the interview to bring the kids? So he realized this is discrimination. So what happened? He changed his name from Lankri to Kellerman. Then a week later he calls them, he changed his ID, everything. He calls them up, he says, hi, my name is Kellerman, I want to put my kids in the school. Yes, do you want to come in tomorrow morning? Same person who told him a week ago there's no room, now they invite him to an interview. He put the kids in, everything has been fine for a few years. Then he had a new baby boy. So in a breeze, he invited some of the rabbis of his kids. You know, they're all in the same neighborhood, people. So in the middle of the breeze, they say, Amod Arav Kellerman, Abi Aben, the father of the boy. So you know, in the Moroccan breeds, what does the lady do? Same thing like the Persians and the Bukharian. All of a sudden, in the heart of Bnei Brak, in the most Ashkenazi neighborhood, Kellerman is getting up for the brachot, and everybody goes, kulululululu. They found that. He tricked them all these years. That's sad it is. It sounds funny, but it's really sad. Really, really sad. If you have a napkin here, I'm sweating. Okay, let's start the lecture. Thank you. Thanks a lot. You know, every day we pray three times a day. Three times a day. We have Shachrit, we have Mincha, and we have Arvit. Why three times and not 13 times? Why not once a day? Why three times? The answer is, Chazal taught us the secrets that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they made the obligations to pray three times a day. Avraham set the time for Tfilat Shachrit, for the morning prayers. Then Yitzchak for the Mincha, for the afternoon, late afternoon, before the evening. And then later, Yaakov, he set the time for Arvit, for the evening prayer, for the night prayer. So like this, we have three times a day. But the truth is that in the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, people did not have to pray in the same text that we are praying today, from the Siddur. Everyone was praying to Hashem in his own language. In his own language. Which means, a person knows in the morning I have an obligation to put tefillin and talit, and to speak to Hashem as long as I want. Some people spoke to Hashem 1 hour, some people 2 hours, some people 5 minutes. Depend on the level of the person. Everyone according to his own choice and his own words. So people, every day the prayer would be a different prayer. Today he's praying for money, tomorrow he's praying for kids, he's sick, whatever. So he's speaking to Hashem. He stands in front of Hashem. Hashem, help me with this, help me with that. I love you, thank you, make me close to you, etc., etc., and that's it. That's how it was. The problem began when we know there is some kind of rule in the creation that every generation is lower on its spiritual level than the previous generation. Every generation is lower. We cannot compare us to the time of the Ben Ish Chai 100 years ago. You don't find in the world people like him anymore. The time of the Ben Ish Chai, you couldn't compare the people of that generation to the people in the time of the Ari HaKadosh 500 years ago. And the people in the generation of the Ari, with all the respect that they are very, very big, giant rabbis, you can compare them to the Rambam. You can compare the Rambam to the names that you hear in the Gemara. And you cannot compare the Tanaim in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, to the generation of the prophets. And you can compare the prophets to the time of Moshe and Yoshua, to the generation that came out of Egypt, that heard the voice of God. Because the Torah says that every person in that generation, even a slave, a female slave, were higher in her level than the prophet Yechezkel. You know who was the prophet Yechezkel? One of the most important prophets that we had. All prophets were important. The fact that Hashem gave them a message, He chose them to give the message, that shows that they were very important people. But even among the prophets, some consider higher than others. Like Ishaya and Yechezkel, they are higher than some other prophets. So the prophet Yechezkel, he is the prophet that revived thousands of bodies that were dead for 600-700 years in a desert, in a valley, bones. Thousands of pieces of bone. He spoke to them and they all got connected together with their ligaments and flesh and everything. And the neshama, the soul, came back to them. This is the tribe of Ephraim that they came out of Egypt ahead of time on their own. They decided to leave out of Egypt. They were ready for war. Well, they didn't wait for the help of Hashem. They didn't wait for Moshe to take them out. They just escaped out of Egypt. And they all died. All of them died. And their bodies were all in one big valley over there. And Hashem took the prophet Yechezkel, and he showed him all the bones, and he said, do you think they can live? And he made them all alive. This is him. So every woman in a generation of the Exodus of Egypt, which was hundreds of years prior to the prophet Yechezkel, every woman were in a higher level. That's how good it was. Okay, enough with this. It's ruining the lecture. If you didn't get it to work by now, let's suffer. Okay? Accept the suffering with love. It's just as much as ishtadlu that we have to do. You know, we make some efforts. If Hashem wants us to sweat, He has His own reasons. Then, you see, I know what I'm talking about. No problem, let's continue. So now, every generation is lower than the previous generation. So when the Chachamim saw about 2,200 years ago approximately that people starting to pray nonsense, they're using stupid requests, they're asking from Hashem things that is not good for them, is actually bad for them. I give one or two examples what I mean. Sometimes a person prays to Hashem to find him a soulmate. I want to get married, so find me a kosher woman. That's a kosher prayer. Find me a kosher woman that I can marry her and have a kosher home. I do not say any name. I do not request anybody in specific. So whatever Hashem wants to send me, He sends me. However, some fools, they take a woman that they think they like. She's great for me, this girl. And they begin to pray only for this girl. Send me this girl, send me this girl. I want to marry her, I want to marry her. I want 1 year, 2 years. Hashem said, look, you pray so much, I have to hear your prayers. If that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. And 2 years later, you see him in court, lawyers, problems, kids are Hashem Yirachem. Why? It wasn't the right soulmate. So when people request something that is not good for them, if they insist consistently, they pray for it, it's not good. So the Chachamim saw that people do not know how to pray correctly. They made a text for everyone equal. Everybody has to pray according to what the Chachamim said. Now, even though the Chachamim's minds was for us to request in the right way, to start with praising Hashem in the first three blessings, and then to make all our requests, right? So we have 13 requests, one after the other. First we have 3 brachot that we praise Hashem. Then we have 13 requests, 13 different requests. And then we have 3 more in the end, which is thank you, modim, thank you, and this. So that's the order, that's the right order. First to praise the judge, then to make the request, and then to say thank you. So they already set it up for us, plus there's a lot of secrets inside the words. There's a lot of secrets inside the words. That's why you cannot change one word from the prayer. If you change one word, you can ruin the whole thing. It's alphabetic order, there's numeric values, secrets inside. There is abbreviations, some sentences giving names of angels. If you're changing it, then you're ruining the secrets of the prayer. Plus, if we review the Tfilat Shacharit, it's set in 4 different categories. We have 4 different worlds, 4 spiritual worlds. This world is the physical world, but it's also combined with spirituality. So we have also spirituality here, so that's the lowest world. It's called Atzilut, it's the top world, it's called Olam Atzilut. Then Atzilut, Briya, Yetzira, Asiya. Atzilut is the top, then one below that it's Briya, one below that is Yetzira, and one below that is Olam Asiya. This is the world that we live in. The same thing, the prayer is divided to 4 different categories. In the beginning, it's all the sacrifices, the story of Abraham Avinu. This is things that we do here. Sacrifices, Akedah, the story of Abraham and Yitzchak. So up to Odu, this is the lowest world, the Olam Asiya. Then after we say the Kaddish, every Kaddish divides between one world to another. So the Kaddish divides, we go from the world of Asiya to the world of Yetzira. After the first Kaddish, this world of Yetzira is all the prayers that we say to Hashem, Psuket Zimra, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. That's already praising Hashem. You can see it's higher in his spirituality, the Mizmorim that we say. So this is up to the Barichu. It's the second world which called Olam HaYetzira. After we say Barichu et Hashem HaMvorach, we're going to another world which Olam HaBriya. From there it's the Kriyat Shema, the blessings before Kriyat Shema and the blessings after Kriyat Shema. And once we enter the prayer of Shmona Esre, the Amidah, then when we stand in front of Hashem, that's called Olam HaAtzilut. When we say Kedusha, like the angels, and all this praising that we say in Tfilat Shmona Esre, that's called Olam HaAtzilut. When we finish the Tfilat Shmona Esre, we are going back down to this world in the right order. The same again, Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, which we have like before. So we're going down from Atzilut, we're going down to Olam HaBriya, and then we say again, we say again some more Mizmorim, Beit Yaakov, so we're going down to the Olam HaYetzira, and we finish the prayer with Korbanot again, sacrifices, right? Pitum HaKetoret, we go down like the same thing we started. So we go 1, 2, 3, 4, then from 4 we go 4, 3, 2, 1, that's the right order in a prayer. Sometimes people who do not know, they come late to shul, right away they jump into the third or the fourth world. He comes shachrit, he's half an hour late, he doesn't have time to do korbanot, he doesn't have time to do hallelujah, he probably missed the barechu already, so he comes right away, he says, start Shema Yisrael, a minute later he stands with everyone Shmona Esre. This prayer doesn't have that much value. Why? It's like somebody who wear his t-shirts on his jacket. You understand what I'm saying? You come right away, the first thing, the jacket is the top, the most important clothing on your body, right? You have a t-shirt underneath, then you have the tzitzit, then you have the dress shirt, then you have the jacket. It's not realistic first to put the jacket and then put the t-shirt on top. It's not realistic. Ruining the orders of the world, that's similar to what I just gave, this example. Let's talk a little bit about the prayers themselves, about the actual prayers. Who said what? When we, as I say, the most important prayer is at Tfilat Shmona Esrei. A person has to do everything he can to get with the public together, to start with them the Tfilat Shmona Esrei, the Amidah. To start with them and to finish with them. That's the highest level. Why? That's called Tfilah B'Tzibur, in public, in Minyan. Sometimes people pray very slow, and they never reach the Tfilat Amidah with the public together. Never. By the time they stand and say, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, they still in Alleluia always. It's not good. Somebody like this has to come half an hour before everybody. So by the time they get to Barichu, he's with them at the same time. So from the Barichu to the Shmona Esrei, there's that, not that much. You understand? Somebody like this has to do everything he can that at least he either start the Shmona Esrei with the public or at least finish with them. Right? If not, if he cannot do, he cannot do. But this is the ultimate way to pray. Who started the Tfilat Shmona Esrei? Did one person wrote it? It's a combination of many different things. Let's see. First sentence that we say in Tfilat Shmona Esrei, Hashem Sfatai Piftach, Ufi Agit Tehilatecha, Hashem, open my lips that I'll be able to praise you. Who made up? Where did this sentence come from? From Tehilim. Tehilim. In Tehilim, Legmara in Masechet Brachot, page 4. Now I'm going to give all the sources here. I know you don't have a pen and a paper, but when you see the recorded lecture, you'll be able to pause and write to yourself all the sources of every prayer. It's about time that we know where these prayers come from. We pray thousands of times in our life, and we won't know where it comes from. It looks to me a little bit foolish. So this is how it starts. Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, it comes from Tehilim. Who is the one who decided that Tfilat Shmona Esrei has to start with this sentence? There's thousands of different verses. Why this one only? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Betchila Omer, the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 4, on the left side of the page, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says, Betchila Omer Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, starting the Tfilat Shmona Esrei, Hashem, open my lips. Makes sense, because I'm starting to pray for you. Okay. Then, the first three blessings, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye Ametim, Baruch Atah Hashem Ha'el HaKadosh, these three ones is considered as a one long blessing. All three considered like one. Because if you make mistake in the middle of any one of them, you have to start in the beginning, not from that specific one that you made a mistake. So it's a one unit thing, because it's all one long praise to Hashem. We're praising Hashem. You cannot stop in the middle and go back and continue from where you made a mistake. You have to go from the beginning. So it's called Avot, Gvurot, and Kedushat Hashem. Who made the opening of the Tfilat Shmona Esrei? Anshe HaKneset HaGdolah. The 120 rabbis that were sitting in Yerushalayim in 120 seats, they were making decrees, takanot, rules, everything that Hashem told them to make. So many of them were prophets. So they made the beginning of the Tfilat Shmona Esrei with the first three ones that I say. The fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's how we start. Then we praise Hashem that he's curing the sick people, and he's reviving the dead people, resurrection of the dead, and even now when people sometimes die, they come back to life. So that's called Gvurot. We're speaking about Hashem that is a real hero. He's a real perfect hero. And then Kedusha, Takadosh. Three different categories combined into one. Then, in the 10 days of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have extras. We add some extra parts to the prayers. What are we saying? We're saying, Zochrenu Lechaim. Melech Hafetz Bachaim, Kotvenu Basefer Chaim, Lema'anach Elohim Chaim, right? We add that part. What happens if we forgot? If we forgot to say it, and we remember only when we finish the bracha, we don't have to go back. If we forgot something from the brachot, we have to go back to the beginning. But if we forgot that addition, we don't have to go back. Why? It's also in the middle of the three blessings. Why for that we don't have to go back? Because this was added hundreds of years later. It's not takanat anshei ha-kneset ha-gdola. If it was decided by the same people who made the prayer, anshei ha-kneset ha-gdola, 2200 years ago, then if we made a mistake in that blessing, we'll have to go back to the beginning. Since it was added almost 1,000 years later, in the time of the Geonim, that was about 1,200 years ago, this is additional parts that were added later. They are not as important as the original text. For that, we do not go back. Then we say, Mashiva Ruach, or Moridata, right? Mashiva Ruach, this is the Gemara in Ta'anit. First page of Masechet Ta'anit, speaking about the rain and all these things. Also in Masechet Brachot, page Lamed Gimel, 33, and also in Baba Metzia, page 5. There are three different sources in the Talmud about the necessity to say Mashiva Ruach or Morid HaGeshem. There's a secret here. Mashiva Ruach means bringing back the winds. And then what comes after the winds? The rain. So that's the literal explanation. What's the secret here? Mashiva Ruach, Ruach in Hebrew means spirit. And Geshem means Gashmiut, money, Parnasa. So if a person wants to do well in his businesses and his Parnasa, first he has to return their spirit, to revive his spirit by learning Torah, giving tzedakah, making mitzvot, improving his traits, his personality. Then later, right away, after we say Mashiva Ruach, when the spirit is returning to me, I'm becoming more righteous, Umorid HaGeshem, Gashmiut, the Gashmiut, the money, the wealth, is coming down on a person after he's doing the right things. That's one of the secrets here. Now, we continue. The bracha of Mechaye HaMetim, Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaye HaMetim, we finish the bracha reviving the dead, resurrecting the dead people. When did they make that bracha? In a generation of two wicked people. The Gemara speaking about two wicked people. One of them, his name was Baitus. One of them was Tzadok. So the people who followed them, it became a cult. Even today we have many cults in Jewish religion, unfortunately, different cults. And they have their own rabbis and their own customs and their own destruction. But it didn't start today. Even in that generation of the Talmud 2,000 years ago, approximately, there were two people. They started to preach to their students that there is no resurrection of the dead. Don't believe the rabbis. What you really believe, that a body that is dead for 1,000 years will get up from the grave and return back to life? Do you really believe it? Come on, don't be fools, etc., etc. So, as an answer to these two cults, the Baitusim and the Tzdukim, the Chachamim made that bracha an integral part of the Tfilat Shmona Esrei. Then we go into the Kedusha. Right? Ata Kadosh, we go Kedusha. Okay? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What's the source? The Gemara in Brachot speaking about it. The source comes from Midrash Tanchuma, page Tzadik Vav. Siman Yud Gimel, paragraph 13, and it's based on the verse in the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah 6. Over there it says that the prophet described that he saw the angels, that they have like six legs and hands and wings. So he described what they do with each set, with the two legs, with the two hands, and with the two wings. And the two wings were flying like the birds. So since the highest spiritual level that is below Hashem, that praise Hashem, is the angels, in the Kedusha, we want to be like the angels. That's why we stand with our two legs attached. Why? Because the angels have only one leg. They have two, but it's glued together, not like us that they opened up. They are one, like one combined. And also, since they're flying, so we raise our angles when we say Kadosh, 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 because that comes from the verse that's speaking about the angels that are flying up when they praise Hashem. So that's the source of that. Then, we finish that bracha in the 10 days of tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Amelech HaKadosh, not Ael HaKadosh. If by mistake we say Ael HaKadosh, we have to go all the way back to the beginning. What is the source? The Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 12. That's the Gemara discussed over there. Why in these 10 days you have to say all the time Amelech, the king, the king, the king? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the nation of Israel, Imru lefanai malchuyot. I want you to not only to praise me, to make me your king. We always make Hashem the king all year, but especially in these 10 days, Hamlichuni alechem. A servant has to make his king his own official king. If he accepts him as a king, he can be a faithful servant. If he's not accepting him, how exactly is he going to be a faithful servant? So the idea is, first, I admit that you are my king. You are my creator, you are my father, you are my king, and I am serving you based on your requests from me. Of course, I have a huge reward later on, but that's besides the point. That's right now my obligation. Then the first bracha, after we finish to praise Hashem with the first three brachot, we go to the fourth one. Now we're beginning a series of 13 brachot that is all request. Give me, give me, give me, give me non-stop. No problem, it's not a crime to ask. But how? First one, chonen adat. Ata chonen la'adam dat. We have three different things in our brain. Three different rooms. Chokhmah, bina, vadat. Intelligence, wisdom. Dat means the ability to translate everything you learn into actions. So this bracha finish, Baruch Ata Hashem Chonen Adat. Even though we mention Chokhmah and Bina, is not as important as that. Because if you have Chokhmah and Bina and you don't have Da'at, you are zero. But if you have Da'at and not so much Chokhmah and Bina, you are a perfect person still. Because Da'at is being a tzaddik, righteous. Without Da'at, you cannot be tzaddik. Because you do not know to see what you learn and make it into holy actions. You live like an animal, so what's the point? Just to know not to do makes it worse. Okay, so we said, Baruch Ata Hashem Chonen Adat, where this bracha came from? This bracha came from, we learned it from the angels. The angels say it to Hashem when King Pharaoh in Egypt decided to make Yosef his assistant in the land of Egypt. He actually made him an official supervisor on the entire empire of Egypt. So in the book Shibulei Aleket, is one of the important Chachamim that lived hundreds of years ago, it's written over there that we learned that bracha, Chachamim, Chazal learned this bracha from the angels. Because when Yosef became the king of Egypt with Pharaoh together, all the angels praise Hashem. The angels were very happy that Baruch Hashem, this Hebrew, 30 years old, Jew, becoming in charge of the entire world, actually, for the years to come. So the angels praise Hashem by saying, Baruch Ata Hashem Chonen Adat. So from there, we learn it. Okay. Then, in that prayer, Chonen Adat, every Saturday night, we add one more part to it, which is Atachon Antanu. That's called the Havdalah. That's really the official Havdalah, even though when we go home we make Havdalah again. But somebody who says here Havdalah, a minute after he can turn the lights on. Doesn't have to wait for the Havdalah at home. He can get into the car and drive home. Why? Because this is officially a separation between Shabbat and the 6 weekdays that are coming. How do we know to put it inside Atachonen? It's Masechet Brachot, page 33. It says over there in the Mishnah, Mazkirim Avdala Bechonen Adat. You're mentioning Avdala in the blessing of Chonen Adat. Then the next bracha is Ashivenu Hashem Elecha, right? Return us to your Torah, back to you. When did the Chachamim wrote this blessing? They learned that in a generation of the Chashmonaim. You know, Matityahu and the five tzaddikim, that's the story of Hanukkah. about 2400 years ago, the Hashmonaim, when they saw that there are many Jews who are turning righteous Jews to become wicked, convincing them not to follow the Torah, their name, as I said before, Tzdukim, the cult of Tzadok, the wicked Tzadok, when the Chachamim saw that there are many, many casualties, many Jews are going off the way because of their smooth talking, so they made that bracha, Hashem, please return us back to you. Slowly, slowly we turn away, return us back to you. And then, right after that, Slach Lanu. Slach Lanu means forgive us. Also the Hashmonaim made that bracha, and based on the generation of the Hashmonaim, and all those, as I just mentioned, that went off the way. Re'ena ba'onyenu, see our suffering, our poverty, also the Hashmonaim. So those three blessings is based on the same event, that there are many Jews who started to follow the Greek cultures and the cult of Tzadok. Right after that, what do we say? Refa'enu Hashem ve'nerafe, Oshienu ve'nivashea. This is from the prophet Jeremiah, the Navi Yirmiyah, Yud Zayin, 17, verse 14. The language of this bracha, it's the language of the prophet. You should know one thing. Many people think that this Refa'enu means that Hashem is sending us cure to our flus, to our fever, to whatever we have. But we already mentioned Hashem in a previous brachot that He's the doctor of all the patients. We already mentioned it. Why we have to mention it again? And plus, why do we say Baruch Ata Hashem Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael? Which means Hashem is only the doctor of the Jews. But He's not curing the goyim, He's not curing the animals. How can it be? We know that Hashem cures the whole world. So obviously, the secret here that we are not talking about medicine to the body. We already mentioned it in the opening of the bracha. We praise Hashem, Rofei Cholim, Atir Asurim, right? We already said Rofei Cholim. So what's the secret here? We are talking about the sicknesses of the soul, of the spirit, which means proud, jealousy, laziness, being stingy, desire for food, desire for women, desire for divrei kfira, for apikorsiut, all these things that are inside our heart and eating us from inside, this is called mental sicknesses. Each one of us has this disease, some more, some less. So we say the Baruch Ata Hashem Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, because only a Jew can be cured spiritually 100%. Not because he's better than the Goy. No, because he has the Torah from Hashem. The Torah has the ability to take a very sick person spiritually and cure him to become righteous, clean, with no desires, with no spiritual problems. It's only with the Torah. Without the Torah, it will never happen. Never. So we are not talking about sicknesses of the body. We are talking sicknesses of the soul, and for that you must receive the Torah. That's what Hashem says, Barati Yetzer Hara, I created the evil inclination, Barati Torah Tavlin, and I also created the cure, the antibiotic, for this evil inclination. What is it? The Torah. Torah. And that's only to the nation of Israel. That's why we say in the bracha, Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. Otherwise, it would not be a praise to Hashem. We're making them limited. Oh, you're only curing one little nation. The rest of the world, you don't have control. It's not a good thing. So obviously, we are talking about the spiritual cure. That comes from the prophet Yirmiyah. Then we say, Birkat Hashanim, right after that. Baruch Ata Hashem, Mevarech Hashanim. What's this bracha is based on? The story of Yitzchak Avinu. When Yitzchak Avinu was planting seeds, he found 100 gates, Vayimtza Mea Shaarim, Vayizra Yitzchak Baaretz Ahi, Vayimtza Mea Shaarim, right? This pasuk, the angel, Malachi Asharet, says to Hashem, when Hashem made Yitzchak found 100 Shaarim. Because of that, the story with Yitzchak and Avimelech and the whales, that they blocked the whales and he redigged them and all the story, the angels was praising Hashem for the miracles he was doing to Yitzchak. So we learned that bracha, the Chachamim learned it and pushed it into the Tfilat Shmona Esrei. Then right comes right after that, תקע בשופר גדול לחירותנו, blow the big shofar to our freedom. כן? So this is what we say. This bracha is when Jacob, when Yaakov Avinu came to Egypt and united together with Yosef, his son, after many years he did not see him. The angels, Malachi Asharet, were singing to Hashem this, the text of this blessing. Right? So from this, Chachamim put it inside the prayers. Kabbal Shofar Gadol Lecherutenu V'Sanes Lekabetz Galuyotenu. What's the secret of this blessing? It's all the wasted seeds of every Jew. The Goy is permitted to waste seed, because his seed is not holy. Therefore, if he wasted seed, he doesn't get punished. But a Jew that wastes seeds is mamash like a murderer. But it's not just a murderer that killed one person. It's much worse. It's genocide. Because it could be millions of souls are being destroyed from that Jew because of his sins and desires and not watching his eyes and watching dirty things and going to make sins with the ladies. So we pray to Hashem that all these souls that are wasted and they went to the impurity side will all combine together and return to the positive side. This is very deep Kabbalah, very deep Kabbalah. And that's the abbreviation of this pasuk. It's a name of an angel that is in charge of us. It's give us the Nun, Chet, and Lamed inside the prayers. You can see it. And that's the secret of this bracha, according to Kabbalah, the secret. Then we have a bracha, which means Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. We praise Hashem that is a king who loves decency and judgment. Is honest, you cannot bribe him, you cannot turn the justice. What's the source of this bracha? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, the chapter in the Torah of Parashat Mishpatim, there's many, many laws in that chapter. Ve'ele HaMishpatim, right? That's how it starts. Almost every verse over there, there's pages, full pages in the Talmud about it. Many, many, many laws. Maybe three full masachtot in the Talmud just come from this chapter. All the laws with money, with neighbors, with slaves, everything you can think of, damages, comes from this parasha. So when the angels saw that Hashem gave Moshe that part of the Torah, because Hashem gave Moshe the written Torah in installments. He gave him everything in Mount Sinai up to Jethro, up to Parashat Yitro. But from there on, the rest of the Torah, from Parashat Yitro to the end, Hashem gave it to Moshe in a period of 40 years. Slowly, slowly, every few years, or every few months, depend on the occasion, he called him into Ohel Moed, to the big tent, and he told him, I want you to continue from where you stopped last time. And Moshe was riding, he saw fire, and black letters are running on the fire. Fire is the background, and you can see the letters are running. And that's how Moshe added parts to the Torah. So when the angels saw that finally Hashem gave Moshe all these beautiful laws of justice, it's called Parashat Mishpatim, they started to sing to Hashem, and how did they finish their song? Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. You proved it once again, Hashem, that you love judgment and you love justice. What happened in the 10 days of Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we change the text. We say, HaMelech HaMishpat, we change it. Why? What's the source? The Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 12. Who made it? Who made that change in the 10 days of Tshuva? Rabba Bar Chinena Saba, that's his name. Rabba Bar Chinena Saba. Rabba, the son of somebody who named Chinena, right? Bishmei de Rav, in the name of his Rebbe. Who was his Rebbe? Rav. There was two famous legendary rabbis, Rav and Shmuel, that were Chevruta in the Talmud. And he said it in the name of Rav. So we know that the source is Rav, one of the important Amoraim in the Gemara. Hamelech HaMishpat. Lamalshinim, laminim velamalshinim, it's a unique bracha. Because originally, Tfilat 18, the prayers, the Amidah, was only 18 blessings. We have 18 parts in a spine. 18 parts. And when we bend down in Modim, all the 18 parts of the spines are bending together, one by one, one after the other. But they added one more blessing to it. Not that the spine now have an extra piece, no. Because there were Jews who betrayed their own nation and ran to the Goyim to tell about others. They do certain things against the decrees. So they wanted everybody to say this, which means if you are the traitor, you're going to curse yourself every day, three times a day. Why? They're offering you to be a shliach tzibur. Please, you go pray for us. And if you are a malshin, which means you're a teller, you're going to tell the enemies about your own brothers, you're going to curse yourself. Because what do we say in this text? Laminim ulamalshinim al ti tikva. Those who are traitors and those who are telling about their own people should never have hope, no future, should be cursed. So if you are one of them, you're not going to say it. So now they're going to find out who is a spy, who is selling us to the goyim. So they added that blessing later on. Let's call Aminim ulamalshinim. Who made it? Shmuel HaKatan. There's two Shmuel. One of them, his nickname was the small Shmuel. Maybe he was shorter, maybe his knowledge was less than the other Shmuel. But it's in Brachot, Masechet Brachot, page 28. But it's based on the order of Rabban Gamliel, the president of Israel. Rabban Gamliel, he said, because the president made that decree, to add one more blessing to the prayers of the 18, to make it 19. Then we say, Al HaTzadikim, Al HaChasidim, Al Sherit Amcha Bet Israel. That blessing is also in the time of the Hashmonaim, Yehuda, Maccabi, Matityahu. And it's appear in a Sidur or Tzar Tfilot. The source comes from there. Bone Yerushalayim, the blessing of Bone Yerushalayim, bless you Hashem, building Yerushalayim. There are two Yerushalayim. There's Yerushalayim of this world and there's Yerushalayim of heaven. There are two identical Yerushalayim. One is spiritual 100% and one is physical. The physical is the one we're going to pray there, and that's where we have the temple. It's also mixed with spiritual. But the Yerushalayim Shel Mala, it's 100% spiritual. I know it's Kabbalah, it's secret, it's hard to understand. But when the King Solomon created Beit HaMikdash, approximately 2500 years ago, the angel Malachi Asharet was singing this blessing to Hashem, Baruch Ata Hashem Bone Yerushalayim. That's after the creation of the first temple. So because the angels were praising Hashem in this language, it's also a part of the prayer. Then, in the days that we fast, Tisha B'Av, 17 B'Tammuz, we have this extra that we add, it's called Nachem. Comfort, Hashem, please comfort the Jews who are mourning for the destruction of Jerusalem. We are mourning for the destruction of the temple. So it's called Nachem. There's an extra special text for days of the fast. What's the source? The prophet Zechariah, Bet, second chapter, verse 9. And the Chachamim of the Talmud, the rabbis of the Talmud, in the Yerushalmi, the Talmud in Jerusalem, there were two Talmud, one in Babylon, one in Jerusalem, in Masechet Brachot, page, Perek Daled, chapter 4, Halakha Gimel, third paragraph, that's the source. They added to the prayers in the fast days that we mourn for the destruction of Jerusalem, based on the words of the prophet Zachary. Then the next bracha is Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. That Hashem is giving us hopes, Yeshua, salvation, hope that the salvation is coming, that we don't break. We always have hope. When did we learn this text? When the nation of Israel crossed the ocean, they were singing to Hashem, bless you Hashem, Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, 3,320 years ago. When the Chachamim made the Tfilat Shmona Esrei, they made sure to take that text of the Exodus of Egypt and put it inside the prayers. Then the next bracha is Shomea Tfilah. Bless you Hashem, hearing the prayers of every person, right? Shomea Tfilah. When Hashem heard the screaming of the nation of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt, they were screaming to Hashem because it was hard torture. Hashem heard finally the screaming. Ki shama Hashem et zaakat bnei Israel. Hashem heard it. Not that he didn't hear it before, but now he accepted it. There's one thing to hear something, and one thing is to accept it. Who said it? The angel of Malachi Asharet that was so happy that finally Hashem is going to take revenge against the Egyptians and release Israel from the slavery. So they made that special song to Hashem. Bless you Hashem, Matzniach Keren Yeshua. Next, bless you Hashem, Shomea Tfilah, hearing the prayers of the nation of Israel. So for that we have Shomea Tfilah. This is a special blessing. It's right in the middle of Shmona Esre. We are allowed to add our own request inside. For instance, if you have a specific problem, let's say you have a trial, let's say you lost money and you want to find it, your son is not doing good, you want your children to learn better Torah, you can add all your personal requests in the text of Shomea Tfilah, and then you finish, Ki ata Shomea Tfilat Kol Peh, Baruch ata Hashem, Shomea Tfilah. And you're not ruining the text, because you're allowed to add over there, because this is the same subject. Hashem hearing the prayers, I have some more requests. Anenu, in the days of the fast, when we're fasting, we add an extra part over there in Shomea, right after Shomea Tfilah, Anenu. Anenu, Avinu, Anenu, right? In Beyom Tzom HaTa'anit Hazeh, in the days of the fast that we are fasting, we ask Hashem to answer us. This is the source, is Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit, page 11, Yud Aleph. Also, Rabbi Zeira, in the name of Rav Huna, it comes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that's the source of this additional part to the Shmona Esre. Then we're starting now the thank you part. Retzei Hashem Elokeinu Be'amcha Yisrael U'tfilatam She. This request will finish with Modim, right? Where does it come from? Masechet Amid, page 32. The Kohanim were saying this special praise to Hashem, Retzei Hashem Elokeinu Be'amcha Yisrael U'tfilatam She'e V'ashev Ha'avodah L'Dvir Betecha. All these texts that we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, we finish this blessing, Amachazir Shechinato L'Tzion, that bringing your spirit back to Zion, to Jerusalem, and then everybody say Modim. This whole text comes from the Kohanim in the time of Bet HaMikdash, they used to say it as long as Bet HaMikdash was still existing. Once it was destroyed, they stopped saying it, obviously. Then in Rosh Chodesh and in Chol HaMoed and in holidays, we add another part which called Ya'aleh V'Yavo. Right? Ya'aleh V'Yavo, V'Yirae, V'Yishama, V'Yipaken, V'Yizacher, Zechronenu, all these requests that we make. What's the source of that Ya'aleh V'Yavo? The Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 29, and it comes from Masechet Sofrim, Yutet Halacha Zayin. This is the additional part that was set exactly for special days, for holidays, for Chol HaMoed, and also Rosh Chodesh. Then we say Modim. Modim Anachnu Lach. It's come from Brachot 29 also, and also 33. Then we have the second Modim, on the repeat of the Shmona Esre. When we say a different Modim. It's called Modim de Rabbanan. Modim de Rabbanan, it comes from Masechet Sota, page 40. That's the source. Masechet Sota in the Talmud, page 40. In 10 days of Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we add Uchtov Lechaim Tovim Kol Bene Britecha. That comes from the Tosfot, 900 years ago, 850 years ago. The grandchildren of Rashi, plus 100 rabbis that would live at that time, all the chief tough rabbis. It's in Masechet Brachot, page 12. In Tosfot, it starts with the word Vehilchata. There's few Tosfots in the sides of the page. That's the source, Uchtov Lechaim Tovim Kol Bene Britecha. Since it was added more than 1,000 years later, in case we forgot it, we do not repeat. We just skip and that's it. We finish the next blessing, Baruch Ata Hashem, Atov Shimcha Ulecha Nae Leodot. You, the one who deserves to be thanked to. That's the translation.
when this blessing was founded, was started, when King Solomon brought the coffin inside Beit HaMikdash, the Aron, the angels, Malachi HaSharet, were singing to Hashem. They made a party up in heaven for us, for King Solomon, bringing the Aron into the first Beit HaMikdash. This is something that never happened before. So it was a special celebration. When Chazal saw that this is something very important in heaven, they entered into the Tfilat Shmona Esrei. Then we have Birkat Kohanim. The Kohanim go up to the stage. Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. The blessing comes from the Torah. It's in the Torah. But who decided that we have to say it inside the Tfilat Shmona Esrei? And where? Where in the Tfilat Shmona Esrei? Believe it or not, it's the Geonim. 1,000 years after Chazal, the Geonim. Understand? So that's why if we forgot it, let's say Shliach Tzibur, when there's no Kohanim, or by the Ashkenazim, when they don't do Birkat Kohanim in the exile, only in Israel they do it. What happened if the Shliach Tzibur forgot it? He did not say, Baruch Hashem Vishmerecha, and he finished, Baruch Atah Hashem, he finished the Bracha, the end of Tfilat Shmona Esrei, and then he has to say Kaddish now. Oh, somebody told him, you know, he didn't say Birkat Kohanim, he doesn't have to go back. Why? It's something that was added 1,000 years later. But if it was integral with the beginning of the Tfilat Shmona Esrei, then he would have to go back to Modim, start again from Modim. Then we have Sim Shalom.